Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Millard Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets lose to this bad Twins team. Hopefully they win two out of three. Can't lose a series to those guys. But Juan Soto hits a home run, another one last night. Big celebration as he's out rounding the bases, and some backlash over his comments about Aaron Judge hitting behind him and no longer has the best hitter in baseball hitting behind him, and they're pitching to him differently. I think that that is probably true, and I understand that Pete Alonso has had a great season, but you know, Aaron Judge is still Aaron Judge. We talk about him outside of Shohei Ohtani as the best player in baseball. He's one of the best hitters I've ever seen. So, you know, I don't think that Juan Soto is making something like that up. I think he's being honest. It's just that, you know, Met and Yankee fans right now are at this fever pitch, and this rivalry is as strong as it's been over this Juan Soto thing since they faced each other in the World Series in 2000. So anytime that Juan Soto says something about the Mets, like, oh, the Mets' future is brighter than the Yankees, their farm system, then all the Met fans go, ah, you idiots, told you. And then when Juan Soto says something like, oh, we've got Aaron Judge in the lineup and I don't have the best hitter in baseball hitting behind me, then the Yankee fans go, ah, you guys suck. We're still the Yankees. We have Aaron Judge. And it goes back and forth. But as far as what Juan Soto said, I don't have an issue with that at all, because I don't think he's making an excuse, and it's an explanation, and he's going to have to figure that out. He's going to have to be better. He will be better. And if you're a Mets fan and you're annoyed by that, get over it, because this guy's going to be here for a long-ass time, and you're going to need him to be great if you want to finally see another championship since 1986.
Seems like he's starting to heat up a little bit now. And when the weather gets warmer and they come home and play the Cardinals this weekend, I think it's going to be nice this weekend. So hopefully the warm weather will bring out the better player. But, I think what he was doing was giving a compliment to Aaron Judge. And people took it as a slight against Pete Alonso. And you and I sat here for months and months and months saying that Pete Alonso needs to be in this lineup. He needs to hit behind Juan Soto. And if he gets off to a great start, he should have a great year. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
So maybe at the end of this year, Juan Soto, while trying to, I think, say something really nice about somebody that he respects in Aaron Judge, we in the media then tend to just run with it and completely blow it up as if it were a insult to the guy behind him.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's the media as much as it is the fans and the social media and everybody trying to one-up the other one. The Met fan trying to one-up the Yankee fan who had to deal with the offseason of Juan Soto going to the Mets, and everybody saying, oh, look at that, you know, now you got plan B, you're signing a bunch of old guys and washed-up players, and Gerrit Cole gets hurt, and it's just like, you know, it's just these fans, these sensitive fans going back and forth. I don't even know if it's a media-driven situation. Let's not forget, too, by the way, you know, when Juan Soto struck out in game one of the season in Houston, you know, he said, I had no problem taking a walk there. Because I've got someone behind me who's a great hitter, a power bat, someone who can get the ball out of the park. I mean, he sat there and complimented Pete Alonso up and down. No one remembers that. And by the way, it's not like he said, if Juan Soto said something along the lines of, you know, man, it's tough not being in a lineup with Anthony Rizzo, then you'd be like, okay, that's weird. He's talking about Aaron Judge. He's the best hitter in the game. He's allowed to say that.
Yeah, but I also know that when you're making $765 million and $121 million of that this year, I would say that, you know, I don't necessarily know that I would go down that road. I would try to be a little bit more political and say the right things. And I know it would be Melba toast, and people would say that, you know, we appreciate the guys being honest. And he is being honest. I mean, let's face it, he's right in what he is saying. But the way that certain fans took this, and the way, when I say the media, I mean the talk shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The talk shows, that, you know, that's what we do for, you know, for a living and everything else. I initially read that as a compliment to Aaron Judge. That's how I read it.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, then I said to myself, well, you know, if you wanted Aaron Judge to be in that lineup with you, just accept the $700 million that they offered you.
Absolutely, and that's what a lot of fans would say. But I mean, he wanted to be here. He got paid more money. That's probably the reason why he wanted to be here. But he's here, and I just, you know, I think what there's so much of this back and forth with the fan that is going to continue the entire season. I mean, this is what it is. I mean, you know, the group text going back and forth. Anytime that a Met fan can get something on a Yankee fan, they're going to do it. Anytime that a Yankee fan can get something on a Met fan, they're going to do it. But Juan Soto, there's in no way do I think that Juan Soto, if he could do it over again, wants to be a Yankee over a Met. And just, you know, I understand the money is crazy, but that's over now. He is here and he has to be great. So at least at this point of me watching Juan Soto as a Met, I'm rooting like hell for him to be awesome, because I know he has to be for them to win a World Series. And I'm not going to look for reasons to criticize him, as opposed to look for reasons to prop him up and say, this is our guy. He's our guy now.
Yeah.
He's our guy.
You know, he's basically on base every game.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you walk. It's okay if you are, you know, in the ninth inning. What do you want him to do, swing at three bad pitches?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to swing at three bad pitches because he's too disciplined. And the one thing I will say about him, you know, I don't think he's a five-tool player. I've said that before. But he competes in the batter's box. He really competes in the batter's box. And by all accounts, you know, the guys seem to like him. You know, they liked him at the Yankees. They like him with the Mets. You know, he set the standard now for the new contracts, he and Shohei Ohtani. And if I'm a player in Major League Baseball, I'm thankful that he did that.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, man. I'm a Met fan. I want him to do well. He's on base. And look at the effect he's having on Pete right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's another part of this. It's not, you know, when you're looking at the numbers for Juan Soto and dissecting them and saying that he has to be better, sure, if he has to be, you know, get to the numbers that he has been his entire career, because that's what you paid for. But if you're going to get this out of Pete Alonso the entire year, you weren't getting that if Juan Soto didn't sign as a Met. You just were not getting that. And the happiest man in the world about the Juan Soto signing is Pete Alonso, because every single at-bat that he continues to do this is a, you know, you could hear the cha-ching that Eddie plays all the time. So it's the team has been playing really well. Last night was gross, but the team's playing really well. I expect them to win today, even with a bullpen game. They're just that much better. The offense is going to have to carry them today. And, you know, they're off to a great start. It really doesn't matter how they do it. I mean, hell, I mean, the Mets went on that magical run last year without Pete Alonso doing a goddamn thing until that Milwaukee game where he hits the three-run homer. Do we care that much? No.
No, it was Jose Iglesias' year last year.
Right.
If you think about it, and Francisco Lindor's second half.
And Mark Vientos in the postseason, and, you know, Sean Manaea in the way that he was pitching, and all these other guys. I mean, as long as you're there in the end and having, you know, playoff baseball games, I'm not going to be looking at your OPS.
Yeah. The amazing thing is, here we are, it's going to be game 18 today, and they're already going into the bullpen. Who are the five starters? No team seems to make it.
This is an illness. Obviously, they have their issue. You know, Manaea being hurt before the season is tough, but, you know, it's not like this is not a, like another like rotator cuff situation or anything like that. I mean, he is hurt. It sucks that you have to have the bullpen game in a getaway day, but it is what it is.
Well, it could be good for a getaway day. You know, guys like to swing at the first pitch.
Oh, yeah. Get
the hell out of there. Umpires like to call those strikes.
Especially in cold Minnesota. Let's go.
Come on.
Let's get the hell out of here. We don't want any part
of
this.
Guys are miserable. You can see it. They are miserable.
And there's no doubt that that happens. If there's a team that's up like 4 or 5 runs, I mean, there's some balls that are strikes that you've never seen before. You're like, oh, that ump is ready to go.
Good thing that they're not using PitchCom for that.
Yeah, that is
not
very
PitchCom.
True.
What do they call it?
I know what you're talking about. You know, the
box. Yeah, it's in the box.
It's in the box. The digital robot umpire box situation.
What is that called, Al?
The digital box.
Robo ump.
Robo ump. There you go. Look at you.
Robo.
You're on it.
Yeah, man.
Robo. By the way, we did get another invitation.
Okay.
I don't know. It looks like an invitation to me.
And a lot of these are New Jersey. What? A lot of these are New Jersey. I got two in my office as well. All right, so let's see. This one is a farewell brunch. Are you sure this is a wedding?
I don't know. I thought it was a wedding. It looked like it was a wedding the way it was.
No, I think it is
mailed.
Oh no, there it is: the reception, the after party, and the farewell brunch.
Oh, there you go. We can send out to the farewell brunch if it's in Jersey. Where in Jersey is it?
I don't. It's Howell.
Oh,
I don't see Al as a brunch guy.
Yeah, I'm not really a big brunch guy.
Yeah, no way. Like, you know, because you get like a lot of really unhealthy foods at a brunch, like a fried chicken and waffles.
I think Howell's near Jerry, I think.
So Jerry said Jerry, maybe?
Zoe. Why does it have to be this fancy handwriting? I can't even read this.
I can never read those damn things.
Zoe Elise Rosenmertz and Evan Co-Francisco. Request the honor of your company as they join together in marriage. Friday, the 25th of July.
Come on. Friday?
Friday wedding, yeah. Friday, the 25th.
Have a great time, kids.
I mean, it looks like a decent enough wedding.
Where is it?
It's at Hamilton Manor in Hamilton Township. I should go get the other two because people sent... I'll get the other two in the break because I feel bad because they sent us wedding invitations that I didn't bring it up on the air as well. One of them's on my own anniversary, so there's just no way that can happen.
Yeah, I think I played golf like 10 years ago on that day, so I'm going to do it again. It's going to be my anniversary.
Friday the 25th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. I mean, these are tough. They're all tough.
Oh, man.
But Jersey is really tough.
It is.
And if you want to tell me you're getting married at, like, you know, West Sable Golf Course, like some people do.
Or Portland Villagers, where the reception is.
I'll be right there.
You can make that.
It is tough, though, sometimes, because, like, you can, like, at the West Sable Golf Course, you can request, I think, that they shut down the practice facility there, but it would, like, cost some money.
Yeah.
So there's some people out there that get married with people working on their chipping and putting
in the
background.
Good. That's perfect.
It's just, I wouldn't be able to concentrate if I was getting married. I'd be like, hey, put the toe down a little bit. Maybe you can get through the rough. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be able to concentrate. What are you looking at? Oh, nothing. I just made a 15-footer. It was down the hill. Shut up. Concentrate on me one time.
That'd be a little rough.
Yeah. People teeing off, you know, hitting it into the woods going, son of a...
So they have weddings at West Sable?
Yeah.
And when the weddings are going on, the golf course is still open?
Yeah.
That must be interesting.
Yeah, it is. They're outside. If it's a nice day, they have little white chairs. And it's just great because, you know, do you take? And then someone tees off with a bad tee shot. Four on the green, 18, four. I love you so much, Dale. Ever since the first time I met you. Son of a bitch! Every time! God, with this stupid slice. I mean, this really happens.
Man.
But it's a beautiful area.
It's right on the water there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area. So I can understand why people want to do it, but, you know. All right, so that one I don't think is going to happen. Maybe Jerry will go. But Jerry didn't get an invite. Maybe he can go with this invite. I think he'll go. Jerry? July 25th, a Friday?
Sounds like it's right up his alley. He's not doing anything.
No, he'd show up with a case of Surfside, hand it out to the wedding party, a couple pictures.
Yes.
And then there you go.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Hey, Jerry, what are you doing on July 25th, Friday?
I will actually be in Grand Cayman, I believe.
Oh, really? Well, that's too bad. So you're not going to be able to go to the...
I have no idea what I'll be doing July 25th.
You want to go to the Co-Francisco wedding in Howell, New Jersey?
Howell? No. Yeah. That's... No.
Not near you?
Not really.
Okay.
Like 30... That's probably closer to... Well, it's CeeLo lives there.
Oh, okay. So CeeLo can go.
Yeah, it's probably closer to Al than me.
All right. I'll send that to CeeLo. And just, you know, I feel bad because I think at one point we might have said, like, when the first person sent us a wedding invitation, like, hey, you know, keep sending them. You never know. Because I had, like, a stack of them on my desk that had been, like, buried by...
By wedding invitations?
Yeah, the books I will never read, you know, that get sent to me. So so I feel bad. Some of these are old. So Sarah Lynn and Andrew Arthur... The Schaefflers that got married in Roslyn. I hope that you're still together.
The Schaefflers. When was that? I went to that.
I think that was in November. Okay. That was in Roslyn. And then
congratulations, guys.
The Piscatellis.
Oh man, where was this? You know that was going to be a good Italian.
Yeah, I know. And that was
great food.
I can't believe I missed this one.
That at the Knights of Columbus. Where was it?
No, the mansion. The mansion at Oyster Bay. This was October 4th.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this was Massapequa. The Piscatelli wedding in Massapequa.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe I missed that one.
You blew off the Piscatellis.
I didn't mean to. It was a stack of them, and I just never got to it, you know?
Think about how everybody stands at that altar, for better or worse, till death do us part, or until you're banging the waitress in the diner. They never say that.
Yeah.
54% of all marriages end in divorce. Well, you know, when you get married, you can throw that trust and belief out the effing window, and you just better hope that things work out, because 54% of you, it's not going to.
Right.
Right. Right.
Oh, and yeah? Really?
Should be a marriage.
Were you thinking about that when he was sticking it in your...
Wow.
Wow, Jerry, Jesus.
Were you thinking about that
when he was sticking it in you? About?
Hey, look, I found him in the car getting a from the neighbor.
The neighbor. The neighbor.
Oh,
Rich Piscatelli also sent us a very nice note. He says that he lives a couple blocks away from Rex Huerman, the Long Island serial killer.
Oh, we could have went out and seen the house.
And he also said there will be enough tequila to get Boomer on the same level he was during the Boomer and Geo Live show. So sorry we missed the Piscatellis.
I just would have went for the rigatoni. The baked ziti?
Yeah, the Piscatelli rigatoni is Long Island famous for sure.
Man, the mansion up at Oyster Bay. I guess it's the golf course there too, I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And this one, they're from Denver, and I thought they were getting married in Denver, but this one was just to me. This is Sean and Paul, and it's Sean is the future wife, and Paul is the future husband. Sean being a woman, just to make that clear.
Whatever. All right.
No, but it's just some people, you know.
What difference does it make? It's all right. Whatever floats your boat.
No, I just wanted to make
Mike
sure.
Mike want to get married. Let them get married.
No,
whatever.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm all about gay marriage.
Like Sean Young, the actress.
I'm all about gay marriage. I just wanted to make sure that Sean and Paul here got the proper... you know, I don't want them out in Denver going, oh, great. You know, they think that I'm
gay, 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 gay.
That's all. You know, but no. This is Saturday, June 21st, which is a day after my 10th anniversary. So there's just no way.
That's to come out of this June.
Yeah.
Where's that
this
way? June.
This is in Sussex.
Oh.
The farm in Sussex, New Jersey.
Tim Beningo. At the farm in Sussex County.
All right, now which one are you? Where is Sean? Where is Paul? Oh, Sean's the woman. Oh, not that I got a problem with this or anything. I just.
tear. It's a regular one.
This one's very nice from Sean and Paul.
It's a regular one.
They moved to Denver. They listen to us every morning. They want... They actually requested Mad Dog and Joe Beningo impersonations at the wedding, and also said maybe Jalapeno Dream could reunite and play a couple of songs. So great listeners here. Yes.
Very good listeners.
Sean and Paul. Carol's in Summit. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Carol. What's happening, Carol?
I just noticed that Jerry seems to be a little bit angry about, you know, the statistic that marriages end in divorce 54% of the time. I mean, was he... left at the altar or something? Jilted at some point in his life?
No.
He sounds really upset about it.
No.
26 years going strong.
He's the ultimate realist what he is.
Well, okay. Well, that's good.
That's what he is. I mean, that's how I would explain it.
What? I'm sorry.
That's how I would explain him. Well, he's the ultimate realist.
Yeah, but you got to remember, too, Carol, that was from God knows how long ago, and it was a podcast topic, and yeah, I was probably annoyed by something that Al brought up to me.
You know what? Thanks, Carol.
Yes, Carol.
There's a couple things I got to get to here. One is about you right now, and I don't know what the hell you're doing. It's 55 degrees in here, and you're fanning yourself. You got, I mean, what is wrong with you? You have a hot flash or something?
Yeah, I just navaged myself.
I mean, you're sweating.
Yes, I know.
And it's legitimately 60 degrees in here.
Okay.
That means you got a fever?
I had a fever for some more calories.
Do you have a fever?
No, I don't think I have a fever.
All right. The other thing that when we brought this up before, some people will send this and say, because, you know, this is it. That's not a statistic for marriages, that like your first marriage.
It's all marriages.
And a lot of people, like once they have one, they end up having three. So I wonder if that statistic for the first marriage is better than the 54%.
That was something I read off a newspaper article.
Okay.
I don't know if it was the third marriages, second marriages.
It's just the way that you put it that makes it
Yeah, but I, it's
stick.
The hard part of that is I don't remember what we were discussing. What year was that from, Eddie, that clip? It's got to be 5 years ago, maybe?
Stand by.
Okay, stand by. AI says 41% of first marriages.
Right, what all marriages?
Ended divorce.
Okay, so that's better.
That is better.
Than 54.
Yes, very much so.
Four and a half years, January of 21.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the point is that when Al annoys you with a particular topic and you turn into, like, Mean Jerry.
Second marriages. What do you think the number of divorces are? Second marriages.
67.
You hit it right.
Really?
Right on the nose.
Wow.
Think about that. 67, two-thirds of all second marriages, which means if you screwed up the first time,
yeah,
don't try it again.
Right. Absolutely.
Really, all you're doing is marking the days off the calendar until it's over.
Here we go.
Why? What are you playing that for? I mean, it happens to be true, but I don't know why you're playing that.
I mean, every time I look at Boomer, there's something going on with his face. He's fanning himself. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I'm trying, boys.
I know you're trying, but if you have a fever and chills, you have the flu. You may have the flu.
I don't have chills. I wouldn't be fanning myself if I had chills.
No, you told me, aches. You said aches and pains.
And I got some aches.
Your temperature's 110. I've never seen you sweat like
this. We got a thermometer up in this place. Anybody back in that medicine cabinet, is there a thermometer?
The most accurate you're reading, you have to do the butt thermometer.
Bend over, Boomer.
All right, I'll go get it. You can put it in.
We don't have a butt thermometer around here.
Since you're such an expert.
Yeah, we got to get a thermometer. If you're anywhere like around 101 or something like that, I mean, that's just, you have to be. The way you're fanning yourself and sweating in this studio right now. It's insane.
We need one of those COVID things where we just aim it at his forehead.
Oh, that'd be great. We should have gotten one of those back at COVID.
The doctor told me don't use those. The one in the ear is the most accurate one.
See, it's funny. We had one in the ear, and then the doctor told us that one's not accurate. It's the tongue that's the most accurate. And you're saying it's the butt, and then everybody in COVID was using the forehead.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it?
I don't know.
What thermometer you want there, Boomer? We'll get you the exact one.
You know, I'm okay. I'm fine. I don't want anything. Go get me a Chef IQ sense. Get that probe out of your office.
You think that would work?
Yes. Why not?
What we could do is set it to 101, and then if it goes off, then we'll know.
It's unbelievable. That is such a good idea.
It might work.
Yes.
But under your tongue.
I'm assuming yes, or up my butt.
You're not putting a Chef IQ set in your butt, man. Don't do that.
Butt implants.
Don't do that. You'll stick it under your tongue.
Let me ask you a serious question.
Okay. Serious question.
Could you lodge it in between your butt cheeks?
Chef IQ said six. It's an Easter ham.
Come on. It's done.
That might work, though.
Oh, my God.
Holy Christ.
Like slide a credit card through. Just stop it right there in your crack.
Harry, shut up.
I think maybe if you don't want to do that, maybe the like stick the Chef IQ sense under your armpit. Maybe that would actually work. Or in your
you have one in your office?
I don't think so. I brought it home. Use it.
I know. I have one in my office.
You got a sweat bead on your nose, man.
That's a book.
Jesus.
A sweat bead.
All right. Well, we're gonna get your temperature, and if it's over a certain level, you gotta leave. It's like enough. What's Izzo doing?
It's kind of delirious. No, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, because you've got glass in between you. That's why it's fun for you.
She's not coughing.
Right, I'm just picturing, you know those little Mucinex, like, human germ things? That's what I'm picturing her, like, working its way over here. Like, climbing in my nose and everything. I gotcha! All right, Jerry. What do you got?
Jerry.
You know what I've got for you? The thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrival Infusion, and it is Jason Dominguez of the New York Yankees.
The 1-2.
Swing on, line drive, base hit down the left field line. Jazz scores. Volpe right behind him. Here comes Wells. He's going to try to score, and he will. A double for Dominguez, and the Yankees are in front.
And that is Dave Sims with the call here on
Hey
the fan.
Now.
Yeah, 4-2 was the final. Big at bat there in the sixth inning. Loses the helmet off his head. Yankees beat the Royals. Take two in a row from KC with the series finale coming later tonight. Aaron Judge, couple of hits, a walk and a run. Scored in Max Fried, 6 2/3 for the win. Dominguez, though, our thriving player of the game. Brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center. Saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. He provides the offense. Fried the pitching, but Fried talks about that offensive outburst in the sixth.
Put together some really good at-bats against a really good pitcher and, you know, just got some guys on base and, you know, had a big hit when we needed it. You know, Jason obviously coming through was huge.
It sure was, as they're 10-7, and they got Clark Schmidt on the mound tonight facing Chris Bubich. Coverage on the fan at 6:25. The Mets did lose to the Twins 6-3. Their series finale will be at 1:10 today on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio. You will have Francisco Lindor really had a tough night last night in the loss. Home runs from Juan Soto and Pete Alonso. All right, so we know about what happened last night with the Islanders and Matt Martin. A nice gesture shown by the Capitals, who did beat the Islanders 3-1.
So this is quite a moment to see. I mean, Wilson and Marty are the tough guys. Obviously, Martin knows Anthony Beauvillier very well from his time on the island. It started with those two, but then when the other Capitals saw what was going on, they wanted to do it as well. This is great sportsmanship by the Washington Capitals. Alexander Ovechkin, a huge hug from Matt Martin and a couple of taps on the helmet.
And so very cool as he plays his final home game. It's emotional, as it is for a lot of people, as we know. This was Martin. I think this was getting ready for the game. Actually, if not, it was right after. Either way, he was talking about his time on the island.
Now, I've been so proud to wear this jersey, be a part of this team and community, and sorry.
Man up. Let's go. I'm just kidding.
Me think of some other emotional goodbyes along the way, because he was wiping tears off, as you could tell. One would be Jason Kelce.
So this all brings us here to today, where I announce I'm retiring from the NFL after 13 seasons with the Philadelphia Eagles. And today, I must admit, it took a lot of hard work, and determination getting here.
Yes, it did, as he was teary-eyed. Then there's none better. This was on a telephone when he decided to move on to Sirius XM when Chris Russo called into Mike to say goodbye.
Mike knew me before I knew Roe. Before I had three kids, I knew Mike. Before I had four kids, I knew my wife. So...
Oh, Christ.
It wasn't an easy call. I'm going to miss that show.
I'm going to miss it so much that I faxed in my resignation for my vacation down to the Jersey Shore. Wait the hell, get the hell out of here.
Then, of course, there's our old pal, Chris Carlin, taking off from SNY.
I love all of you guys. And then, lastly, thank you. This is unbelievable.
People get emotional, Jerry.
They do. And this isn't a retirement, but I just like to remind you, this was on live TV. After Michigan beat Penn State, the coach Sharon Moore, who took over for Jim Harbaugh for the day.
Well, I thank the Lord. Well, I thank Coach Harbaugh. Love you, man. Love the out of you, man. This is for you.
So unbelievable. And perhaps the best one, which I had never heard until Al suggested it this morning, was Mike Schmidt when he retired from baseball. I don't know how this has never popped up before.
Some 18 years ago, I left Dayton, Ohio, with two very bad knees and a dream to become a Major League Baseball player. I thank God that dream came true.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well.
Listen, I understand. I feel bad.
You did the same thing.
I did.
And that tape doesn't exist.
Oh, no, I definitely. I got
you
choked.
You cried when you left Pittsburgh?
I was choked up. People
how about
made
over
fun
at
me.
How about over at the Upside Down?
No, that was tears of joy when I was running over there.
He's running.
I think I pulled my hamstring running down the hall. Kidding me?
So,
oh man,
pride in Pittsburgh, huh?
I got choked. We've talked about this many times.
Yeah,
I got choked up coming back from the break. I was like, why did that happen? I don't know.
Because it all.
I wanted to go home. That was the thing. I was going to go back to my friends and family.
Oh, so it wasn't so much the time you spent there and the success you had. It was you wanted to get back to your parents.
Well, I think it was the fact that I never knew that I was going to go back to. It was never a lock that I was going to go back to Long Island or New York or anything. And it was like I thought I was going to live the rest of my life in Pittsburgh at one point. And I was like, you know, I feel bad for the crime, but it is hilarious. You can see these guys.
Years later, it is.
You know,
you're already there for 5 years and you're crying. I mean, it's one thing if you're there for 18 years or 16 years like Matt.
Yeah,
you're there for 5 years in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Well, at that time in my life, it was important to me. I regret the fact that happened now, but what do you want me to say?
Where is that tape?
Nowhere.
Burned, apparently.
Yeah, nowhere.
I have searched for it high and low. It does not exist.
Yeah, I'm glad that it does not. There's only one person on the planet that I think has it.
And you don't seem to want to make that phone call.
No.
Get Izzo on that. Gotta get Izzo.
The Magic and the Warriors won last night. Knicks will open things up with Detroit on Saturday, and the Devils beat the Bruins in overtime 5-4. A lot more sound coming up next hour as we go through some other stuff.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So if people don't know, you were out in Vegas last weekend for a hockey tournament. You went to the Sphere for an Eagles concert. So I get a post on X. Someone, Trooper Taylor, AU on X, sends me this post. I came back from Vegas 2 weeks ago, played golf 3 times. Went to the Sphere for a concert, came home with aches, chills, ended up battling the flu and its symptoms for 2 weeks now. Run and hide. That's what he writes me. So
that's nice.
So it sounds a lot like the same situation that you were in.
Well, you know, I was also out there playing ice hockey. Also went to a Knights Kraken game. It wasn't like obviously had a shower in the locker rooms after the games. I mean, I was on 2 airplanes.
Yeah, it sounds like you got the flu, man.
I could have been, gotten it anywhere.
But you think it's the flu? If it's the flu, we can't have that.
No,
can't have the flu.
I don't know what it is.
It could be the flu. You got the aches.
I got the aches. I don't have the chills. I don't feel like I have the fever.
You don't think you have a fever? You've been fanning yourself, and it's freezing in here.
Yeah, I know. Well, when I went to go do the Navage in the bathroom, you know, it relieves you so much. But it is a little. I got a little sweaty in the bathroom.
Okay.
I don't know why, but yeah, but I feel a lot better because now I'm a little bit more drained.
Okay. Well, good news is that we do have a Chef IQ sense here in the building.
Okay.
So we don't have a regular thermometer, but.
We'll give it a shot. I got the app. We'll set it up.
Okay, you do have the app. I think Izzo's got the app as well. So okay. And I have the app, but I think you got to have it with that particular thing. You got to pair it. So
all right.
So Izzo is pairing that now.
Okay, good.
And we'll see how it goes.
So you know, I said earlier this morning I could have used Eddie's help yesterday.
Yeah,
had a big lunch. You know, exploring other opportunities. And met with some power people.
Exploring other opportunities.
Yeah, I'm not trying to scare you guys. It's not anything that's going to have anything to do with this show. But it was a power lunch.
Power lunch, we're exploring other opportunities.
Right, okay. And one of the people I had never met before. And this person took me down a rabbit hole. Like, I had no idea. Have you guys ever heard of Gustav Klimt?
Gustav Klimt.
Klimt.
No, I don't know. It sounds
like K-L-I-M-P-T, Gustav Klimt. So this person, you know, says, you know, I should know who Gustav Klimt is. I don't know if they are probing me to see how, you know, well I know my artists.
Okay.
Because this is an artist.
All right. Eddie, did you know that?
I had no idea, no.
So he's an Austrian symbolist. And, you know, he has a piece of art called The Kiss. And I was being talked to about, I've never heard of Gustav Klimt. And then I looked at the person who said, you know, was talking to me about this and explaining it to me. I said, you know who the father of the Bear defense is? And they didn't know, of course. I said, you know what a cover two is?
Who's the
father of the West Coast offense?
Right. Didn't know any of that stuff.
But it was a really interesting lunch. And I was just thinking of, like, how do you react to something like that? Because I felt like a dope because I said I had never heard of Gustav Klimt.
No, you know, I mean, okay. I mean, you know, you're not a dummy. You don't know art history.
Wait a minute. I took art history in college.
Well, that's probably, did you say that and that's what prompted the Gustav Klimt thing?
No, I didn't say that, but I don't know if this person was trying to intimidate me, maybe.
Okay. With art history?
Well, I mean, just a little bit of background.
All right.
You know, I mean, a very impressive background. Extremely impressive. Unbelievable opportunity.
Were you going to paint some stuff?
Oh, I'm not going to paint anything, no.
All right. Well, I'm curious to see what it is. But, yeah, I mean, art's not something that I have much knowledge in either. That makes you feel better. I mean, you know the big ones, the Van Goghs, the Picassos, the Monets.
I've been to Monet's house.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
How's he doing?
He's dead.
Okay. Well, not so good.
But it was kind of nice. It was very picturesque, kind of like in the country house type of thing.
Okay.
On the way to Normandy.
Who's living there now?
I don't know.
It's just preserved? It's
preserved. It's like a museum.
Okay.
Went to the Louvre.
Think they're going
to
do that with your house? Plan dome, just keep it preserved as a museum?
Mummify me in the basement.
Yeah, there he is. Look at that. Like King Tutankhamun.
Oh, yeah, but this is up there.
Okay, it was up there, snooty stuff, is what you're saying.
Oh, yes.
So what rabbit hole did you go down? So the art rabbit hole, art history rabbit hole?
It was a little bit of everything. I mean, it was an extremely impressive lunch.
Okay. All right, good.
And I think there's, you know, the question is whether or not the opportunity is what I want or not. We'll see.
It's an interesting thing that you're bringing this up on the air in this way.
Well, I felt that...
Intimidated?
A little bit, and I just wanted to make sure that I handled myself well when we were talking about Klimt.
Well, we know it wasn't a radio meeting, if that's what they were... if those were the people there.
Right. 100%. And plus, they wouldn't have gone out to lunch either, because it'd be too expensive.
Right, exactly. They would have. You know, and then, you know, you sit down and you have lunch. Normally, I'd have like a burger or something like that and a beer, right?
That didn't happen here.
Want arugula and salmon.
Yeah, because of the Klimt conversation.
Yeah, a little intimidating.
Well, if it makes you feel better, that person has the flu now. So they gave you Gustav Klimt, you gave them the flu. So there you go. Suck on that, art history buff.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that too loudly.
What? I just did on the radio.
I know. I just wouldn't say anything like that.
What, you gave him the flu, you're saying?
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, I was just trying to tell you that it was a very, like a very unique and enlightening lunch.
Yeah.
I thought. And then I was thinking to myself, I got this lunch. We're talking about Gustav Klimt. And they got to go to a hockey game tonight.
Yeah. I can guarantee
that's
that.
That's range.
I can guarantee that you guys, that you and these folks don't have a lot in common at all.
Oh, we have a lot in common. You'd be surprised.